Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best day is
ESPN 97.5.
Except no substitutes.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up? I guess B-Town, really. Yeah. Right? Not H-Town. Welcome to The Usual Suspects. It's a road show today. We're out in Beaumont here at Madison's, and I think they opened at 11, so I'm expecting a huge crowd. They're filing in now as we speak. The millions of people in Beaumont that listen to ESPN. We're happy to be here. Little change of plans today, though. You got myself, Barry. You got Nicholas here. No Joel Blank.
No
Joel Blank today. Joel is injured, and I don't know what he did. I don't know how he did it because he's being secretive about it.
He is.
All I know is that he cut his leg, and apparently he cut his arm. He didn't even tell me that. But Joel is laid up in bed at the house, injured, bleeding out.
Yep.
I don't know that he's going to die necessarily, but it didn't look good.
It looks bad. He sent me a pic of his leg. I think he's being secretive about the situation, and so I'm going to let him reveal the details, but I'll just say this.
So you know the details?
I don't know the details. All I know is that he got himself injured. Okay. I know just as much as you do.
Right, okay, because he didn't send me a picture of the cut. He sent me a picture of his foot, which was more disgusting, I'm sure, than the cut. But it was all propped up in bed, and it was wrapped and bloody, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what happened, who he got in a fight with. Did Lisa finally get sick of his stuff and just cut him up? I don't know. I don't know what happened. Get well soon, though, buddy.
Yeah, speedy recovery. Wishing you a very speedy recovery, sir. So shout out to Joel Blank.
We were texting last night, and I was like, oh, man, this is, you know, you should probably skip it. He goes, no, I'm going to try it. And then I was like, bro, you're going to be so sore tomorrow if you had to get – he said something about stitches on the inside out, and I was like, that doesn't sound good.
Sounds terrible.
When you say stitches from the inside out, it sounds like somebody's putting together a teddy bear. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're like you go to Build-A-Bear, like they like he was a Build-A-Joel. And so they did whatever they did. And
yeah, he didn't text me. He called me, and I could tell by his voice that it sounded like a serious situation. And I was at a bar, and he's like, are you drunk? I'm like, nope. I had a few.
Yeah, so you were?
Yeah, a little bit. But he sounded so serious, I couldn't leave my man hanging. So I walked out the bar, and he told me the whole story. But I remembered everything. I remembered it. So like we said, we pick on Joel, but we're wishing him a very speedy recovery because it did sound like a pretty serious injury. He'll probably reveal all the details.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll tell the story tomorrow if he does make it in. I was worried that I wasn't going to get here on time. And now, before I continue the story, just everyone relax. I'm not disparaging the dead, okay? I'll just put that out now. However, I didn't think I was going to make it because I got stuck behind a funeral procession of about 75 to 100 cars.
You sent me a pic.
About 10 to 15 minutes outside of Sour Lake. Now, I'm going along at a pretty good clip. I was going to be here at 12:30. That's how I was. So I
planning.
Scheduled it. Right.
Yeah.
Then it just on 105, it just came to a stop, like a complete standstill. And I was like, what is going on? And so I couldn't see around me what was going on. So I just decided, well, screw this. I'm going to go around all these cars that are being dumb and stop here. And so I went around them and basically got to the front of the line to where there was a cop that had shut down 105 so that this funeral procession
could get on.
This was at the church where the funeral was, I guess.
Right.
So I like moved myself up to the front, and then there's this cop, and he was giving me the stink eye because I moved up, but whatever. So then all these cars, and I'm not kidding you when I say it was 75 to 100 cars. We sat there for 10 minutes while all these cars filed out, going slow with their flashers on.
Okay. I thought it was shocking, too, because you said a standstill. I'm like, whoa.
Right, so then we're sitting there. Well, then the cop goes, and they've basically, what they did is, this cop got in the wrong lane and went all the way down 105. So you know there was another cop that had shut it down up front.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, this is real bad. And we were going, you know, on 105, I'll get up to 90 sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll do 90, 95. It's a back road. Yeah. It's whatever. We're doing 45 the whole way. And I am losing my mind. I'm like, no. And I'm just watching on Waze as my ETA slowly creeps from 1230. Now it's at 1240. Then it's at 1242. Then it's at 1245. I'm just going, oh, my God. It was at 12:51, and I'm panicking. And I was like, I'm gonna miss the start of the show.
I thought you were too. I mean, just from the picture though. But I don't like you're saying words like Sour Lake. I'm not familiar with the area like you are. So you had a good idea of where they were going.
I hoped. Well, that was the thing. So I can't pass this funeral procession. So what I did, this is kind of a jerk move. But, you know, when you're part of the funeral procession, you turn your lights and your hazards on.
Yeah.
So I kind of just did that and ducked in.
Yeah.
With the funeral procession.
And you didn't care?
No, I didn't care. I'm trying to get to work, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, this guy's dead. He's not going anywhere. There's no reason. Why are people pulled over? Why are people, like, I don't know.
Maybe he was important to Beaumont or Sour Lake or wherever he's from.
There was an ISD person there, right? I saw a truck. It had yellow flashing lights, and it said, like, Sour Lake ISD or something. So maybe he was an old principal of somebody. Whatever. I don't know the guy, okay? So to me, this means nothing. I realize he's dead, but he's not going anywhere. He's dead. But so some of us have places to be.
So your suggestion would be like for them to like
let me go.
Exactly.
I don't care about anybody.
Make room for Barry.
By the way, I took a picture of the traffic behind me, and it was just as long as the funeral procession in front of me. That's how slow everything. It just came to a halt on 105.
God.
So I'm freaking out. I was like, this is not good. So I'm trying to pass people in the funeral procession.
Right.
Didn't work. I couldn't do it. So
I mean, Waze does a pretty good job of letting you know how long you'll be in traffic. I ran into some of it, but the only reason why I was concerned is because it was pretty early on I-10. But it was only like a 10 or a 15-minute delay at the most. But your situation, I mean, obviously when it comes down to a funeral, police officers are directing traffic.
Yeah.
So they can totally stop where you're going if they feel it's necessary. And that's probably what happened, obviously, but you at least you got here.
So this is, look, so somebody just tweeted, Buddy Tyrell said, the funeral in Batson, oh bleep, LOL, sorry. That's where it started, was in Batson, which is on the map I'm showing you, and that's Sour Lake. We did this whole stretch at 105 going about 45 miles an hour.
God.
I don't know who this person was. I'm sure they were a great person, but they almost ruined my day.
They almost made you late.
Their death almost had a significant impact on my life. So I know that's kind of a jerk thing to say, but I just – what's the rule about that? Like if you pass a funeral procession, people were pulled over on the other side. I'm thinking – I'm not pulling over.
Yeah.
I might turn my lights on if it's a cop or if it's
a military vet.
If it's a firefighter, I'm going to pull over. I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn my lights on. I respect that. But just a regular ass dude.
Like a civilian, you're not having that?
No. I'm not. Look, I love you, buddy, but if you die, I'm not pulling over for you, Nick. You're not getting that treatment.
Well, I mean.
No, I might be in your funeral procession, but I might go.
Yeah, but they're bold. Like I've been a part of those before, and you would see people that are not a part of the funeral get a little testy because they're obviously trying to get to go where they're
right.
trying to go. So I've seen that. I've been in that situation before. I completely understand.
I was a little testy.
I would be more nervous in this area only because I'm not familiar with the area.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see what you're saying. That could be a problem.
Well, I was worried that they were going to make me late. And of course, AJ was like, uh-oh, what? Like, keep me informed.
Yeah, how long?
I was sending y'all pictures because I didn't want y'all to think Barry's just late.
Yeah.
Like, no, it was legit, and I'm glad that.
Oh, I believe there was a funeral, but I just.
That, oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
I've never seen that many cars pull out of one. It was a small church, too. It wasn't that big, but it was crazy.
Timing was terrible as well.
Yeah, I should have left earlier.
But
now that I
guess
see
what? You're here at Madison's, so it doesn't matter.
I'm here at Madison's. This place is nice.
It's a clean setup.
I don't know if I'm digging where we're at on stage just because of the lights.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to be interrogated later.
Right. Well, it's very bright.
It is bright. But this is a super nice place, man.
Yeah.
It looks new.
It looks very new, very clean. Frank was telling me that he's a musician.
Okay.
So he's got all kinds of production and gear and PAs and wires and stuff. He doesn't joke around is what he says. He keeps the setup clean. He tries to keep everything clean, and it's a really good setup right here at Madison's, too.
It is. I like the balcony up there, too.
Yeah.
That looks cool. Yeah, this looks like it would be a good place to watch a band perform.
For sure. For sure.
A lot of stuff to get to today. If you just tuned in, no Joe Blank. He is at home. He's out. He's on the injured reserve list.
He is.
So to speak.
He's TBD.
Out leg contusions, right?
Yes.
An arm. Did you see the arm pick?
I didn't see the arm pick.
I didn't know that his arm was all jacked up, too.
He told me that he had lacerations on it.
On his arm?
That's how he described it.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm dying.
Oh, I have an arm pick. Never mind.
Okay, yeah, I'm dying to know what happened to him because I don't know if it was his dog. Did one of his dogs finally get sick of his stuff too?
Oh, that's
like,
a good guess.
You know what? Screw this guy. I'm out of here. I don't know what happened.
All I know is he's seriously injured, and we're wishing a speedy recovery.
Yeah, so we're going to find out about that. A lot of stuff to get to today. Obviously, big news in the sports world is the Astros in Game 5 tonight at Minute Maid Park against the Tampa Bay Rays. That's going to be an interesting thing. We're going to get to that. Obviously, we'll talk about baseball last night. You got Thursday night football coming up. You got Texans this weekend. So plenty of stuff to get to. You said you were at a bar. Did you have a chance to watch any of the baseball last night?
I was just going to ask you. So we were in the car for the first game. For the Dodgers game, I was watching that. I was definitely watching that game, and I was paying attention to it too. So we can definitely talk about that. Hey, everybody's on Twitter right now saying, hey, don't talk trash, Astros fans. But I'm
That's the scary thing about what happened last night is, you know, on the show yesterday, we talked about the fact that my belief was and I didn't get either of these games right. Because I thought, well, it's Game 5, it's home games. All things being equal, this is why you get home field advantage, which is what the Astros are saying. Hey, we worked hard to get home field advantage.
Better take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's a scary proposition for sure. So we'll get to that and a whole lot more. Guys, real quick, I want to tell you about MyBookie. Football season's here, and you know what that means, right? That means time to put some scratch on these games and win some money. And nobody does it better than MyBookie. They have odds on every game out there. More prop bets than any other sports book on the interwebs. Absolutely nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. That means you get your cash when you want it. And you know what? You don't even have to bet at kickoff. If kickoff's already gone, come and gone, you can still get action on those games. You can parlay. You got teasers. So much going on at MyBookie's. More, like I said, more prop bets than any other sports book out there. Guys, be smart with your money. Don't play with some no-name sports book that you're not sure if they're going to pay you. Bet with the best. Bet smart. That's MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. And if you sign up right now, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager however you want to do it with them. All you got to do is use promo code RADIO to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. Guys, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Madison's in Beaumont, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We're doing it until 4 out here at Madison's in Beaumont. Guys, get out here. You don't want to miss this. $10 buckets until 6 of Miller Lite and Coors Light. Plus, where it on the street is, and I don't know, I'm about to try it, but they got great food and plenty of beer. This is a great place to come watch the game, too. I haven't been here, but apparently they've remodeled. And
it looks brand new.
Yeah, it looks brand new, and this obviously looks like a great place to watch a game. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house. There's actually TVs at these booths. Man, this is a if I were going to go out tonight and watch the game, and I might go to the game, actually, but if I'm going out, this would be the place that I would be if I lived here in Beaumont. You need to get out here.
And look what Joel. Look what Joel misses out on, fried cheese curds.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to take some home for him. Yeah, we'll have to take some home for him.
Yeah.
Madison's out here in Beaumont. $10 Miller Lite and Coors Light buckets until 6 p.m. Don't want to miss out on that. And plenty of TVs, plenty of space. I hear this place gets packed on the weekend, so I'm anticipating a good crowd today and tonight for the Astros game. Speaking of baseball, you said
the Dodgers,
yeah,
for sure.
Watch the Dodgers game. Not really much you can say about that Braves Cardinals game. When you get out to a 10-run lead, that's ball game.
In the first inning,
that's ball game.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I was not expecting that. I really thought Foltynewicz, the way he handled the Cardinals in Game One, was going to come out and do that again. Got to give credit to the Cardinals' offense, though, man. They figured something out, and it wasn't pretty. And it was an ugly baseball game. But if you're like, I tweeted Josh Rapp and said, you got to be feeling pretty good. And he was like, that's an understatement. And that was like inning two. But you get out to a 13-0 lead.
I mean, it's really hard to come back from that, especially in playoff baseball. We know how important momentum is, and it's really difficult to come back from that. Now, if it's a significant lead, it's basically or almost impossible to come back from that. In the situation with the Dodgers and the Nationals, they were able to come back from a not-so-terrible lead, but
yeah.
10 runs in the first inning. Like,
10 runs in the first, 13 by the end of the top of the third. And the crazy thing to me is, now we were driving for most of this game.
Right.
The crazy thing to me is, when you look at there's no home runs by the Cardinals. In a game where they put up 13 and 10 in the first, you anticipate, anytime you see a double-digit run scored in an inning, most people are going to go, oh, a grand slam for sure.
Right.
Plus, you know, probably another three-run homer at some point. They batted around. No home runs by the Cardinals all game, which is crazy to me when you put up 13 runs. So, you know, not that the Cardinals play small ball necessarily, but this is a team that you got to kind of be – I feel like the Cardinals have been slept on all year. They've flown under the radar all year, and all they've done is win. They, you know, obviously won the division, overtook the Cubs and the Brewers, and come in and beat a Braves team that a lot of people thought were a surefire bet to be in the NLCS along with the Dodgers. So
I mean, there's so many players that you could be proud of, if you know, especially Josh Rapp, if you're a fan of that team. I mean, Fowler obviously did his thing. Juan got a couple of hits as well. Goldschmidt did as well. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the same approach that they're going to be able to utilize, Barry, throughout the rest of the playoffs, but it worked when they needed it the most in Game 5. I don't know if you can go through a playoff game and not hit any home runs and expect to have the same success, especially with some of the defense on some of these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what they can do to – kind of, like I said, continue that momentum going into the next series.
They scored 20 runs over three games on the road in Atlanta. 7-6 win in game one, lost 3-0 in game two, and then go out and win 13-1 in this final game on the road. So hats off to the Cardinals, man. I'm guilty of it. Slept on the Cardinals all year long. And my hats off to Josh Rapp and his cards, man. They look legit. This is a team that had a .562 winning percentage, which was by far the lowest winning percentage of any division winner. You had the second lowest was the Braves at a .599, but everybody else won about 65% of their games or close to it from a division winner perspective. And here's the Cardinals just plugging along.
What is Josh Rapp doing? Is he like celebrating, drinking whiskey? Is he like just?
Let me just, without sounding too gross, there's probably no lotion left at the house, at the Rapp house. He is just beside himself. He is absolutely beside himself. Speaking of beside themselves, Dodger fan has to be pretty upset.
I'm not going to sit there and act like I didn't enjoy all those shots of fans on their home field just borderline crying. Let's just absolutely shocked at what happened. And it just happened in a second.
Yeah.
In a second. I mean, shout out to Kendrick with the go-ahead grand slam. But Wow. No one expected that.
Clayton Kershaw is garbage in the playoffs.
Did you see that meme, by the way?
The Joker meme?
That was fantastic.
Joker? Yeah.
I figured you saw it. I mean, I thought of you immediately after. I was like, that is a fantastic meme.
It was top notch. And when he started, you know, losing it and the wheels started coming off, you just thought, man, this is typical. When you looked, I pulled up and screenshotted his postseason production, and he's got a 4.5 ERA. And I get Dave Roberts, you got to go. It's just like we talked about in Game 4 with the Astros and Justin Verlander. What, are you not going to pitch Kershaw? You kind of have to.
Yeah.
You kind of have to throw Justin Verlander out there on short rest. But hindsight is 20/20. But it was a mistake in both times. And
I mean, even when you do decide to, like, if you just make the decision to not go with someone like Clayton Kershaw, even if you have the most amazing sounding justification for it, you're always going to get some backlash, and you're definitely going to get some backlash if it doesn't work. I'm not going to sit here and criticize Dave Roberts for making that move. It's too tempting of a move. It's playoff baseball. It's Clayton Kershaw. That's what you do, and no one expected him to do that at the end there. So,
I don't know. Walker Buehler, I know you pull him because of the pitch count, 117 pitches. He was cruising.
Yeah.
6 2/3 innings, the one earned run, and you think, all right, all you got to do is bring in Kershaw. He's going to get an out. You'll see what happens in, you know, at the top of the next inning and going into the eighth inning.
Right.
See what happens there. You got Maeda and Kelly and Jansen. You got all these guys that could come in and get the save. All you need Kershaw to do is come in and close the door in this inning, and he doesn't do it. He gives up the two home runs. And dude threw six pitches in this game, five strikes, gave up two home runs.
What are you going to do?
God, that's just awful, man. That's just absolutely awful. And I feel bad for the guy because Kershaw's a really good dude. Like, he's, you know, as far as baseball players go, you have, just like in any sport, you have good guys, bad guys. Kershaw's one of those guys, down to earth, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. But, man, the picture of him sitting by himself in the dugout all dejected, it was kind of sad.
Yeah, I saw it too. I was like, God.
It reminded me of a scene in Forrest Gump where he's sitting on the bench and by himself.
Just looking
just like,
down.
Damn. Kershaw's like, he's got to be. It's got to be mental for him. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's got to be so hurtful. I mean, a part of there's such a big part of the mental game that goes into pitching for pitchers and batters. Even when they're at bats, there's like a mental game to be played. I remember when they were considering putting like a time count at bats, and Ortiz was like, "Man, there's a mental game to be played, man. I'm walking around, I'm thinking, I'm trying to feel out the pitcher and what he's trying to do." There's a mental game to be played, and let me tell you, mentally, he was completely broken. And look, what if Jock Peterson, he just hit that ball a little bit higher, and instead of it going through that padded door, it turned out to be a home run, because right after that, they had another home run by Muncy.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been just enough momentum to, like, kill the confidence of the Nationals, but no, it turned out to be a ground rule double. It ended up that Muncy got the home run anyway, I know that. But just getting that home run, you know, to start would have been such a confidence booster. Who knows? Maybe Kendrick doesn't get that grand slam if he does. Who knows? But look, there's going to be surprises in playoff baseball, and the Nationals certainly are one of them for sure.
Yeah, Strasburg did his job, and I tell you what, it's weird to say it now, but I don't even really know why, other than their pitching staff. But this is a team that I think has also gone under the radar a little bit. Once you lose Bryce Harper, you know, Bryce Harper's gone, and you think, okay, this is probably not a team that's going to compete at the plate. You know that they can pitch. You know that rotation's
my
solid.
First thought.
But, yeah, you lose Bryce Harper. But, I mean, a lot of people, I think, sleep on a guy like Soto, who he's the new Bryce Harper on that team. That dude's a stud, and he's surrounded by good ball players. They may not all be superstars, but they go out and they do their job and they take care of business. And it's similar to the Cardinals. Goldschmidt's a star, but outside of that, you don't look at the Cardinals and think that's a scary lineup like you do the Astros, like you do the Yankees.
You look at that batting
you
order
look at
and you're
Dodgers.
Just not as nervous.
I mean, the Dodgers, you're like, wow, that team can hit the second highest win total in the majors. And
yeah, not just on paper, though. You see just from the eye test, both of those, I mean, the Astros and the Dodgers, they pass the eye test, and they definitely pass the test on paper. For some players, obviously, in the batting order, they are struggling.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they look good on paper. And they look good in the eye test as well. So,
hey, you know what looks good? Money in your account looks good. So when you have GetUpside, that's what you're going to do. You're going to go out there and put money in your account. Guys, if you haven't downloaded GetUpside, do yourself a favor. Go put it on your phone right now. It's super easy to install. You could be up and running by the time I'm done telling you about it. That's how easy it is. I did it while I was sitting at the pump. And what GetUpside does for you is get you cash back on the stuff you're already paying for, like gas and like food. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you fill up, as long as you're doing it through the GetUpside app. You can get up to 35% cash back on all your meal purchases through the GetUpside app. That's crazy. That's like a third of your meal. If you're, you know, if you're a big boy at heart like me, that's a lot of money you could be getting cash back every time you eat out. Do yourself a favor right now. Put this on your phone. GetUpside was featured on ABC 13. I talk about it all the time. Nick's a user. AJ uses it. He's on his way. Tons of people at the station are using it. Tons of listeners using it with legitimate money in their account. How about $400 or $500 in your account? That's real. I have the screenshots to prove it from our listeners. Guys, don't waste money. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Yeah, anyway. I can feel like 80 rats in my Mary's. Me and Drizzy back to back is getting scary. If you fucking with my eyes.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Madison's in Beaumont, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel is on the injured list, so you're stuck with myself, Barry, and Nicholas out here in Beaumont at Madison's. You need to get out here. Plenty of reasons to get out here besides all the TVs and the great food. They got $10 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light until 6 p.m. You do not want to miss out on that. If I wasn't driving back, I would certainly partake in that for sure. I know you'll probably do that anyway.
Yeah, probably the last hour.
Rebel. Yeah.
The last hour of the Blitz, I'll probably have one, but I won't.
Well, and don't forget, last hour of the Blitz is 5 o'clock.
Right.
6, because we're going to have Astros baseball on ESPN at 6 o'clock.
We are preempted.
So the Blitz will be preempted. I'm going to head when I leave here at 4.
You're going to go to Minute Maid?
I think I'm just going to go to the game.
You should.
Brought me a collared shirt. Going to go be fancy. And I mean, look. This, every time I go, they win. So I'm a good luck charm, obviously.
You got to sit in the same spot, though. Wherever you sat in the press box that last time, you got to sit in the exact same spot.
You had our only ESPN spot, so Joel and I had to walk around like bums. You sat in the press box.
I did jack that seat, didn't I?
Joel and I basically walked Minute Maid, and then we would sit somewhere, and then ushers would be like, you can't sit here. And then what we did is we went in front of Torchy's, and we stood in front of the condiment area. Where you put relish on the hot dogs.
Yeah.
And this one guy comes up. He goes, yeah, y'all can't stand here. And I showed him my badge. And then he goes, oh, and it was the guy that was talking about, man, you give Nick such a hard time.
Oh, was that guy?
So he recognized us. He was like, no, y'all are cool. You can stand here. And then everyone got mad at us because we were able to stand there and they couldn't. And I was like, yeah, but you know what?
Boy, they crack down when it's playoff time, don't they?
They really do, yeah.
Because ushers are normally really, really nice in Minute Maid when, like, during the regular season. They let you, I mean, if there's empty seats, they let you consume them. It's not a big deal.
It was funny because he goes, hey, before he saw us, well, not him, another guy was like, hey, are you guys SRO? I was like, oh, is it already at standing room only? He said, yeah. And there's a section just for standing room only.
There is,
it's not here.
Right.
I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, big game tonight. I did want to go back real quick, though, to that Dodgers-Nationals game because we've talked about the Astros' inability to hit. But you know what? That was part of the Dodgers' problem, really, when you look at it. Cody Bellinger with a .211 average in these playoffs and Corey Seager hitting .150, huge, huge issue for the Dodgers. So, I mean, rest assured, Astros fans, it is a problem with Michael Brantley and some of these other guys, but it's not just, isolated to the Astros. Plenty of teams out there struggling at the plate because you're facing so many good pitchers in the playoffs.
Yeah, you can make the same argument for Turner for the Dodgers. He wasn't necessarily playing that well either. I mean, you're going to have situations where what is it? You want to get a hit, what, one every three at-bats,
yep.
Basically?
Yep.
Hopefully you can get that in the playoffs. Obviously, you're going to have a slump. Now, you hope that your slump does not last as long as Michael Brantley. Because it's like I said in yesterday's program, it's over a month, and that's just too long going into the postseason. You don't want that. You don't want that going into the postseason. But yeah, it's not isolated. I completely agree. There's going to be certain players in batting orders, and I'm sure the Nationals have a couple of players as well that might go into this slump in the next series. Even,
I think it was hitting like 188 or something like that. I know he was hitting below 200 going or you know after the game last night. But yeah, everybody's going to struggle, and the problem is because you think about this in the playoffs, you see guys instead of getting their normal bullpen like a starter. Like we saw Strasburg early in the series, but when you instead of getting just the regular old middle of the pack bullpen arm, you're going to get Strasburg to come in for an inning. You're going to get, you know, luckily for the Nationals, Kershaw. But the caliber of pitching that you face goes up significantly. Like tonight, I expect all hands on deck for the Astros. It wouldn't surprise me to see Zach Greinke pitch middle relief if things go bad. It wouldn't surprise me to see Verlander come in to try to get an out. Even though he pitched a couple of days ago, I think he'll probably be the only one that's not available. But again, this is
time
do or
do
die.
It.
This is do or die. It's all hands on deck. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who goes down in that bullpen. I think the ideal scenario for the Astros tonight, though, is Gerrit Cole goes out and gives you at least seven innings of one or two runs.
But in
ball.
The event that he does need to be pulled, you're going Greinke or you're going Verlander if he is going to go with one of the aces. Are you going to go with Greinke or Verlander?
Yeah, you probably go Greinke now because it's. I think this would be his normal bullpen session day anyways or yesterday if he didn't throw, if they had him sit and just wait for today to do it. So it doesn't really hurt. And you've seen that in the past where guys, on their 4 days of rest, on day two, they'll throw a session. So in the playoffs, that session just becomes a game.
Right.
And then you can still go out and make your normal start. On the fifth day. So I think that, yeah, Greinke so, more so than Verlander.
Ideally, Gerrit Cole goes six or seven innings
with
no more than what, one or two runs?
Yep. I think if you can get seven innings and two earned runs out of Gerrit Cole, the Astros win that game.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment too. I mean, I expect that to happen. Look, we talked about how the Astros are not necessarily a good road team, but at home, at Minute Maid, they turn things up.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I'm not necessarily upset, despite the slump of Michael Brantley, putting him in that spot for now. Now, I don't know if he's going to make a change going forward, but I don't know how you feel about that, putting him up above Alex Bregman. Are you okay with that still, considering the slump?
I'm fine with it, and here's why. At some point, if you start to move Michael Brantley down and he's not protected in the lineup, and I know he's been protected, but now you're just – I feel like you're exacerbating the issue. If there's nobody behind Michael Brantley – then you don't have to pitch to him. You know, if it's Chirinos, no, I would still be scared of Michael Brantley busting out of his slump in the middle of a game as opposed to, you know, Robinson Chirinos hurting me at the plate. So for me, I would rather see, oh, well, you can't pitch around Brantley because Alex Bregman is next or because Alvarez is next. So you have to pitch to him, and that's the best way he's going to get out of this slump. I wouldn't move him. I wouldn't necessarily leave him in the two-hole, but I wouldn't punish him and put him in seven or eight.
Right, and I think, look, A.J. Hinch, like he, just like many managers, tend to go with the vets, the guy that is more obvious to play. I remember after it was a game one or game two where Osuna had the bases loaded, and it looked like a situation where they might lose the game, and he's like, nope, Osuna is our guy, Brantley is our guy. So he's going to, it seems like for now, it seems like he's going to stick to the guys despite them having any struggles. Before he starts shaking things up. Because, you know, feelings can get hurt, not just going into next season, but right in the middle of the postseason, too.
Keep in mind, too, in the playoffs, when just because, you know, you may bring in Osuna in the ninth inning with a two or three run lead to get the save, he's coming in a clean inning. That's not necessarily a high leverage situation. That spot is going to go to Will Harris in this bullpen. I don't think A.J. Hinch has trust more than anyone in that bullpen than he does for Will Harris. So, if in the seventh inning or in the eighth inning there's, you know, multiple men on base with no outs or one out and he needs to get out of that inning, Will Harris is the guy, and he's never going to get credit for a save in that situation. But really and truly, if he gets out of those kind of predicaments, that's saving the ball game.
Sure.
Even though it goes to the guy that pitches the ninth with less than four-run lead or more, with a three-run lead or less.
Right. He doesn't scare me, and I think he's confident enough, like you said, to eat up a couple innings. Where it would be, it's not going to go down as a save, but definitely a key part of the game. And look, if he can eat innings and not necessarily put the following pitcher in a bad situation, I'm all for it. He was asked whether or not he would consider putting Will Harris before Osuna, and he said no. So
yeah, he said Osuna is still the closer, and that's probably true. Osuna's going to get the ball in the ninth inning, but again, the game is on the if this base is loaded and Gerrit Cole gets into the seventh inning and then loads the bases, guess who's coming in the ballgame? It's going to be Will Harris. No doubt about it. So, I mean, that's where, when the game is on the line, I think he'll turn to. Hey, we got plenty more to get to. Real quick, though, I want to tell you guys about Klein's Fine Jewelry. Guys, if you haven't started your Christmas shopping yet, it's not too early. And let me tell you why, man. You can get sales right now at Klein's. In fact, you really don't even need sales. Valentine's Day is around the corner. Sorry, not Valentine's Day. Christmas is around the corner. But when it comes to Valentine's Day, when it comes to Mother's Day, when it comes to any holiday, Klein's Jewelry is the place to be. Look, they made me a hero when it comes to my wife, because I promised her I would upgrade her ring for our 10-year anniversary. She had something very specific in mind. I couldn't find it. I went to Michael Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry, and he found it for me. So I'm a hero in her eyes, and I have so much leeway now when it comes to gift giving because of Klein and Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Guys, it's independently owned. They've been around since 1969. You don't get that way unless you're making great deals in the city of Houston. Whether it's rings, pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches, doesn't matter. He made me a hero. He's going to make you a hero, and he's going to save you a ton of money. And all you got to do is call him. Let me give you his cell phone number. 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. All you have to do is call Mark, get him on the phone, and ask him. He will quote you over the phone. You can say, hey, this is what my wife wants. She wants some diamond earrings, or she wants a ring or a pendant or whatever it is. He's going to give you the quote over the phone. That's how confident he is in his pricing and his prices. He's not a big store in the mall where he's got a lot of overhead. You don't have to worry about that. You get great customer service and you get great prices, and he won't be beat in either of those categories. I promise you that. Give him a call, 832-316-1388. Go visit him, 5868 Westheimer, super easy to get to, or online at kleinsjewelry.com. That's kleinsjewelry.com.
Texas A&M Alabama, Saturday at 2:30 on your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, welcome back, Usual Suspects. What would Joel say? Oh, he doesn't have one here. I should have done it. It's second half hour of the show at 1:30. I forgot to do
that. That's two or three segments.
No.
He does the 1:30 one. Yeah, he does.
The second half hour, which is kind of
totally
weird.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm going to mess all these up. I should have wrote them down. I need, we have a rundown and we have all this stuff that they give us to do. I need to get the Joelism sheet so I know what I'm supposed to say and when I'm supposed to say it.
Yep, at 1:30, 2:30.
Yeah.
He's got one at 3 as well.
Oh, he's got 1:30, 2:30. And then, yeah, three.
Yeah, I forgot about the two because one hour down, two more to go.
Right.
Yep. Totally forgot about it.
On.
He's missed.
Yeah, he is. Get well soon, buddy. He cut his leg off. That's not true. It's something happened. We'll figure it out. He has all of his limbs, I hope. We'll hopefully he's in on Friday, but I anticipate him not being back tomorrow and being here on Monday.
Speaking of injuries, though, did you see and I know you said we're going to get into the Maury situation,
yeah,
but – just because we mentioned Joel, did you see Errol Spence Jr.? He got into a big car accident.
I saw something like that. Yeah, that's not good.
So, yeah, the Blitz, ESPN 97.5 was covering that fight in Los Angeles, two weeks ago when he fought Porter. And just an unfortunate situation, man. And I just remember driving up here, because even Joel said, be careful driving, which gave me the hint that it might have been a car accident, but I don't know for sure that it is a car accident, mm-hmm, with Joel. And I was just like, God, there's just – you could be driving down the road, speed limit and all. Doesn't matter. Just,
yeah, somebody hit you.
Now, in this case, according to multiple sources, it looks like he was speeding. But, yeah, I just thought I could bring that up real quick because you driving down the road, just going to Beaumont, an hour and 45 minutes, I was like, God, Joel said, be careful driving. You never know. I don't have a car as nice as Errol Spence Jr., though.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily go as fast.
So was speed a factor?
I would imagine, considering the car. That's a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's not good for me.
Happened in Dallas. But, yeah.
Not good for me at all. Speaking of NBA, they did play I know Joel had predicted that that game would not go off last night with the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets.
He did
Nets.
Say that.
But they did play it. They did have some restrictions, though. One of the things was no media whatsoever before or after. And that was at the behest of the Chinese government. They said no media whatsoever. And then I think there was some stuff. They had, like, the dancing and stuff, all that. But there was other things that they had restricted about the game. So they were kind of being a-holes about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Joel was saying that they learned of this news en route, right? So is it safe to assume that some media members did make the trip and learned once they got off that they wouldn't be covering the game?
I'm guessing that's a free trip. Yeah, that's let's see. It says before the starting lineups were announced, there was no singing of the national anthem.
Ooh.
Not the Star Spangled Banner or the March of the Volunteers, the Chinese national anthem. So they were smart enough to not do either. But if they would have just said, no, you can't do the American national anthem, but we're going to do ours, ooh, that would have been bad.
I'm surprised that they didn't do theirs.
Yeah. It's weird. This is kind of taking on a life of its own. And not that it wasn't an issue and important and a lot of people were talking about it before, but I think now that it's crossed over into sports – and Daryl Morey being the catalyst for all this, it's really, I know for me, and I think others, it's really educated me as to what really is going on in China and with Hong Kong, because I thought, you know what, I think I know, but let me go research this. Let me go read what's going on with Hong Kong and what's going on in China. And then there was some guys that showed up at a game, I believe it was in D.C., and they had signs, they had a sign that said Google Uyghurs, and it's spelled U. I have to go back and look at it again, but they're basically a Muslim community in China that have been put in concentration camps.
Okay.
And they wanted people to kind of educate themselves on what's going on in China. I had no idea that existed until that guy protested with that sign. They took his sign, they let them stay. So that became an issue overnight. Now they're confiscating signs, right?
Yeah.
Part of the problem is that some of these arenas, and it's clear, I retweeted where I was like, bad look, NBA. And this was in D.C. where they confiscated a political sign. Then it came out that, yeah, the arena has a very specific no political signs.
The
venue does. So I get that, especially in D.C., right? But then it made me think, all right, well, let's go see what the rule is at the Toyota Center if somebody wanted to show up with a We Stand With Hong Kong sign. There is no specific call out in the Toyota Center rules that you can't have a sign that's politically – in this political in nature. They do have an out clause that says we have the right to take any sign for any reason without you know, questions or so that's their out. If you bring a Hong Kong sign, they're not going to tell you it's because they don't allow political signs. It's just going to say, they can just say, nah, we're just not going to allow that sign.
And I would imagine that's being put in there because
that's going to be a bad look if they do that, though.
Yeah, I think they're going to let you – it sound from the way you read it, I mean, it sounds like they'll let you have a politically influenced sign, but in the event it leads into conflict or a fight in the stands or if it causes problem, maybe they put that in there. That's me kind of defending the Toyota Center. I don't know if that's the case. I'm just saying maybe that's what it is. But, yeah, I mean, it's
well, somebody's going to test it. Somebody is absolutely positively going to buy a ticket and take a sign – and test it out. And to me, the difference is I can almost excuse and live with the fact that it happened in D.C. at the Capital One Center or whatever it was. Or maybe it was in Philly. I don't remember. But I can live with it because it specifically states in the policy no signs of a political nature. And when you say stand with Hong Kong, freedom for Hong Kong or whatever, obviously that's a political sign.
Sure. Yeah, no question.
So that is going to be interesting. And then I did want to say the guys over at 713 Shirts came out with a shirt, and they basically took Daryl Morey's tweet. They have his profile. They literally just took the whole tweet, all the likes and everything, and put it on a shirt. It's badass. It's on my Twitter at Barry is funny if you want to see it. It's really badass. I'm gonna have to get one of those.
They're selling it on their website. What's their website?
Yeah, I think it's 713shirts.com. But, yeah, at Barry is funny if you want to see the shirt. But they absolutely have them available. I'm going to have to get one of those for sure. Hey, Aaron, do we still have Jesse on the phone? Hey, Jesse wants to talk about Daryl Morey. Jesse, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the NBA, China, and Morey, and I kind of hate to turn this towards the Texans a little bit, but I want to get your guys' take on this. So if this continues down the road it's going and it's getting worse and the NBA and the Rockets end up losing millions, possibly billions, one, what do you think the chances are that Morey survives this? I just can't imagine that he does. And then number two, what are the chances, and what do you think realistically if the Texans would look at hiring Morey as a general manager?
The Texans? Did he ask if the Texans would hire Morey?
I don't know. Am I drunk right now? Am I high and I don't know it? Did he really ask if Daryl Morey would be the GM of the Texans?
The Texans? What is he talking about?
Man, somebody already got their bucket of Miller Lite or Coors Light over here at Madison's, because that is the weirdest damn question I've ever heard in my life. Do you think Daryl Morey would be the general manager of the Texans?
Negative.
No, not in any way, shape, or form.
What is wrong with you, sir?
As for the other part, do I think Daryl Morey is going to get fired? I actually don't. The more that this goes on, I actually don't, and here's why. If this would have just been about the money and that's it, then, yeah, I could. When we talked about this, especially if the Rockets falter, maybe don't make the playoffs or get bounced in the first round after being a really high seed, then I think he would have gone on the hot seat, right? But the fact of the matter is now is that this country is really starting to rally around this as a whole. People are coming out. I mean, now, I'm actually agreeing with Trump, except for the part where he attacked
Steve Kerr
and Popovich. But I'm like, wait, Trump and I are on the same side on China, I think. This is kind of weird. This is new territory for me. But I think you're seeing a lot of people rally around Hong Kong and freedom and the whole point that Daryl Morey made that tweet. So I think at this point, if you go out and fire him for that, you're suppressing his freedom of speech. You're saying that we're firing you for saying that because it cost us money. Terrible look for the Rockets.
Yeah, it would be a terrible look. And if you are really
at this point, it would be.
Exactly. And if Fertitta does have that in his mind, it would be better off for him to do it like a year down the road. That way it doesn't look like this is directly because of what happened in China. So
right.
I don't know if that's what he's thinking, and I'm not trying to say that. I'm just, you know, speculating here. But I would imagine it makes more sense if he's that upset to the point where he's going to fire Morey, that it would not be right away. It would be at least until next season or maybe even after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so you wait. You say, yeah, he's on the hot seat. We're evaluating everybody, blah, blah, blah. Just like we did with Mike D'Antoni. You know, we're going to evaluate Daryl Morey. So now you're right.
You got to remember, not just the Rockets got hit in the pocketbook, and I know you got to read, but the NBA got hit in the pocketbook.
Big
time. And Silver kind of defended Morey. So that gives
him
a little life.
He didn't at first.
Right.
But then he came out and was like, no, we absolutely support his right to freedom of speech. And I think the NBA is going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, listen, you were not going to allow a communist regime to dictate what we do as an organization. You can't allow that to happen. I don't care what the money is. And we talked a little bit about it. Go to another market. Aaron Rabel, yesterday we were talking about it, and he popped his head in. And he goes, yeah, somebody mentioned, you want to go where there's millions and millions of people that basketball isn't a big deal yet? Go into India. I mean, there's just as many people in India, it seems like, as China. So there are other markets to tap.
Sure.
There are other revenue streams you might not make up for it in the way that the money that you're making
then
in China.
Maybe some of it will supplement what you lost in China.
Absolutely. And there are other ways to do that. So, hey, speaking of other ways to do your weekends, if you want to come out and have some fun this weekend, check out Zero Latency. It's Houston's first free roam, warehouse scale, fully immersive virtual reality gaming experience. In other words, it's a lot of damn fun. Guys, I was out there this past week with AJ and Trey. We had a blast. We were fighting zombies. We're all on the same team, walking around this warehouse. And it's just cool. If you ever played like a Call of Duty style game, or if you ever played any other shooter game and you thought, man, wouldn't it be fun if I could actually be in the game and do it? That's exactly what this is. You strap in with a helmet. You've got your goggles on. You've got your headphones on. You're talking to your team. You got a backpack on that's got your computer, and you've got a gun, and you can switch guns and shoot zombies to your heart's content. It is an absolute blast. I played three of their four games. I played the Zombie Survival, the Outbreak Origins, and then they have this Engineerium game, which is really cool. But they've got other games as well. Guys, go check it out. They're off of I-10 just past the Beltway. Just U-turn at Dairy Ashford, and they're right there near the Whataburger and the Chili's. Birthday parties, team parties. You want to do something cool for your company? That's a great team-building exercise. You want to impress your clients and do it in a fun way? Take them out there to zero latency. You can get more information on their website, zohouston.com. It's zohouston.com. Grand opening is October 12th. I'm going to be there. Come out and see me, zohouston.com.